I grew up in the UP, and like the listener, I've noticed that many towns have named neighborhoods, sometimes called locations. There are many reasons that a neighborhood could get a name, but if a town's origin was mining, it is likely that the neighborhood took the name of the nearby mine. The history of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and its cultural landscapes are dominated by mining. Native Americans are the first to mine copper from the Keweenaw Peninsula, which they fashioned into tools that they used or traded throughout eastern North America. This practice dates back to at least 6,000 years ago. In 1841, soon after Michigan became a state, an extensive 100-mile-long copper deposit was mapped that extended through Douglas, Houghton, and Keweenaw counties. This led to a great copper boom, and most of the communities in this region were the result of the extraction, processing, or transportation of copper. By 1869, the copper country produced 95% of the nation's copper. Much of the copper rush was over by the early 20th century, though the White Pine Mine continued until 1995. Just as the copper boom started to fizzle out, three iron ranges were discovered. These are the Marquette-Menominee ranges in the central UP and the Gogebic in the western UP and northern Wisconsin. The city of Ironwood was one of the most prominent mining communities in the Gogebic region, and by the 1920s, the community had over 15,000 people. In 1891, Ironwood had six operating mines, including the Norrie and the Aurora, which are also neighborhoods in today's Ironwood. Perhaps these neighborhoods inspired the listener's question. In many cases, these mines were operating before towns like Ironwood were established. Small communities would spring up around each mine. When towns like Ironwood were incorporated, they extended the boundaries to include these small mining settlements. In many cases, as the listener notes, these names have continued to the present, even though the mine closed long ago. Although the environment has slowly reclaimed the evidence of mining, keen observers can often see the remnants. Towns often have open pits, now filled with water, and tailings piles, which is what was left over after the ore was extracted. Some towns in the UP even have standing structures associated with the mines. The community architecture can also show traces of the mining companies. To attract workers, companies often build homes, which you can identify by their uniform shape even after 100 years of remodeling. The mines also built schools, hospitals, stores, and movie theaters, so mining communities will often have lasting evidence of their former mining days. We should be proud of our mining heritage, but it is important that we not overly romanticize the period. These mines have a complex social history. It is true that they provided employment for immigrants who fled war-torn and economically depressed Europe, but the mines, especially in the early days, had little concern for worker safety. Serious injury occurred daily, and death was commonplace. In 1909, the Norrie mine was considered the greatest iron mine in the world in terms of ore production. Yet, on May 13, 1912, seven men were killed in a cave-in at this mine right in Ironwood. Appreciating our mining history does not mean we cannot also understand this period in its fuller context. For WXPR News, this is Jim Skibo.